Hello and welcome to Small Business Stories, a podcast brought to you by Purely Personal Marketing. My name is Robin and I'll be bringing you inspiring and insightful real life stories from real life business owners around the globe. And we'll be sharing our top tips and our own personal experiences in business with you all. Send us your questions on our social media. Look for Purely Personal Marketing. Don't forget to subscribe and to download this podcast. And you will have my eternal gratitude. Thanks so much for listening. Let's get to it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Small Business Stories. It's me, Robin, your host here. And I have a lovely guest with me today. She's a well-being mentor. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, really. Please welcome the lovely Sue Thomas to the show. Hi, Sue.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for having me. It's so lovely to be here.
No worries. Welcome to Small Business Stories, Sue. So first of all, let's just get kind of a bit of a roundup, a bit of a summary about who you are and what you do. So in a nutshell, who are you? What do you do? What's your name? Where'd you come from?
Yeah. Okay. So I am a well-being mentor. And what a well-being mentor is basically is someone who helps specifically women in my case to understand how easy it is to take back control of their health. It really isn't complicated. And we have been sold too many media messages over the last however many years to mean that we just think it's complicated to be healthy. It's complicated and expensive. So I help women to really understand that joint health, poor sleep, lack of energy, hormone imbalance, brain fog on a day-to-day basis, lack of productivity doesn't have to be it. It doesn't have to be like that for an ongoing time. They can do something about it. And basically what I do is I show them the way, show them how to what to eat, how to move, what to think on a day-to-day basis. And in doing so, that helps them take back control of their health and really improve their longevity and improve their quality of life on a day-to-day basis.
Amazing. So if that spoke to any of our listeners, if that kind of resonated with anyone, let's just get it out there now. Where can people go to find you, Sue?
So my website is suethomaswellbeing.co.uk. That's usually the best place to start. I always offer everyone a free clarity call before I start working with them so they can really understand how I work and whether I'm the right fit for them as well. I think it's really important. I also have a free Facebook group called Keeping It Real with Sue Thomas Wellbeing, where I do lots and lots of live feeds into there. I share lots of recipes and lots of ideas of how of things you can do on a day-to-day basis to help improve your well-being. And that is where really a lot of people go to find out who I am as well, to see how I work and to really understand if I'm the right fit for them. And I call it Keeping It Real because I'm all about being realistic when it comes to getting healthy. You know, it's been portrayed to be so complicated and it really isn't on a day-to-day basis.
100%. And, you know, speaking as a woman, I can absolutely relate with that. I've got a group of friends right now who are all on the dieting wagon and, you know, there's not to bash, you know, losing weight and being a healthier, happier version of you. Absolutely. But I feel like we are kind of, victims to a lot of this kind of mainstream media dieting and fads, and you have to lose weight to feel good. You have to lose weight to be confident. And actually, no, in my mind, I know when I had a PT on in a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about, you know, feeling good is about feeling healthy and, like you say, having more energy, less brain fog, and that confidence kind of comes with that. And losing the weight is a byproduct of that, but it shouldn't necessarily be a focus.
And when you give your food the right, when you give your body the right food, your body really responds to that. It really wants more of it. It gives you energy. It gives you kind of better sleep. Our bodies are really sophisticated machines.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't dream of not getting our cars serviced. So why do we neglect our bodies? You know, we buy the most expensive phone, but we won't look at what our bodies are doing and how our bodies are working and making that investment in ourselves.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. I had never even thought of it like that. That's so true. And I guess the same goes like for our minds.
Yeah, well, it really is.
It's the same goes for our mind and our own mental health. Why aren't we checking in with ourselves more?
You know, I talk about, that sort of self-love and how important it is, because when we love ourselves and we have respect for ourselves, we will want to give our bodies lots of care and love and attention. When we don't care for ourselves, when we don't have that self-love, it's not a luxury to take some time for yourself. It's an absolute necessity, because when you take that time for yourself, you look after yourself, and you want to give your body what it really needs, and then you can perform at your best. You'll be more confident in your clothes. You'll have super productivity on a day-to-day basis. You'll be laser sharp. Your business will grow. You know, there's so many benefits to really focusing on what we put in our mouth, how much we move on a day-to-day basis, and what we think. And when you put all those three things together, you can really, really improve and accelerate your well-being on a day-to-day basis.
You need to get up on a big stage and you need to tell people. I don't know if you do public speaking, but...
I do. I love public speaking.
Oh, my God. I really can picture you. I, you know, and for our listeners who obviously can't see the lovely Sue, I can see how passionate she is. And I would absolutely attend and be like, yes, Sue, I'm with you. I love it. So were you always, into kind of that self-care?
I have always been into nutrition, and I've always been into fitness. In another life, before I had children, when my first child was born, I had a small ankle accident that meant I had to go and see a massage therapist, and he was also a personal trainer. And I was talking to him, and I just thought, you know what? I don't want to go back to my old PR and communications job. I want to do something that makes a difference, that helps people. And so I decided I would retrain. I retrained as a personal trainer initially, and set up my own personal training clinic. And I was always very clear that I was working with women. I wanted to help them balance their hormones. I wanted to help them understand how to manage their weight effectively. And I wanted to take away the fear that often gyms and places like that can create for women, because they don't think they're thin enough, or they don't think they look good in their clothes and all that kind of thing. So I had a clinic at home. I just trained women at home in my studio. So the more I worked with women, and the more I understood how to help them kind of feel more confident in what they were doing on a day-to-day basis, the more I wanted to bring nutrition into what I was doing within my personal training studio. And so I retrained as a nutritional therapist. And my husband helpfully said, when I was 45, "Are you still going to be doing that when you're 50? And I was like, you know what? I'm not sure whether I will be doing that element of it. So I gradually moved more and more into the nutrition side of things, found myself really enjoying the coaching side of things and supporting women and helping them feel better, keeping them accountable, and also doing it as part of a group as well. So I found that groups really work together as women. They keep each other accountable as well as being accountable to me. Yeah. And so gradually I sort of grew the business in the direction of group coaching and more nutrition, but I still bring in the movement side of things, and then now working on the mindset as well with sort of NLP coaching and all that kind of thing as well. So the whole process has been a bit of an evolving process, but I'm in a place now where I really feel that I can make a difference to women's lives. I can make a difference to lots of women's lives by running sort of group coaching programs that really help them understand what they're doing on a day-to-day basis and how they can take control and make a difference to their long-term well-being.
So interesting. I love that, Sue. And so what did you want to do when you were at school? Like, what did you want to be when you grow up?
So funnily enough, I wanted to be a physiotherapist. I wanted to be someone who made a difference.
Right.
But when I was 14, boys were more interesting than studying to be a physiotherapist.
As they are.
And so I sort of went down the path of least resistance. I did a geography degree, and then I went on to do a master's, and I got quite into sort of environmental. I became a PR marketing manager for an environmental agency because of my geography degree. But it never stopped. I never stopped being passionate about movement. I never stopped being passionate about food. I was always really on it with my own food. So when I had this accident, and I was speaking to this PT, it was a bit of a eureka moment. It was a bit of a kind of, I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to refocus and do what I feel super passionate about. So I'm so grateful that I've come full circle to
back to
really helping people. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I mean, quite often I think there is this kind of mindset just in the general public, no matter what country you're in, that they, you know, once you're in a job, That's what you do. And that's what you stick to. And, you know, I was talking to somebody else on the podcast about, you know, you climb up the ladder and whatnot. And, you know, I certainly know for myself that I had that huge imposter syndrome where I felt like, you know, well, I'm in my job and this is what I wanted and this is what I've been working for. But actually, I'm really not very fulfilled and I'm not really happy. And, you know, I feel like there's so many undiscovered and amazingly potential, so much potential out there in entrepreneurs who, you know, and business owners who, you know, are so undiscovered right now. And they might be in a role right now and thinking, God, get me out of this. Why did I work so hard for this? I'm not happy in it. I'm going in the wrong direction, much like you. And I just want to say to anyone that's listening, like, there isn't just one path. There's so many paths you can take. And, you know, you're proof of that. And you say, do you feel so much more fulfilled and happy now that you're doing this?
Totally and utterly. Every single day, I get so much fulfillment from talking to women and helping them see the light in terms of what they need to be doing. You know, I can take someone from feeling absolutely miserable and just not enjoying life on a day-to-day basis, having a really low mood, having all sorts of health issues that are just compromising their quality of life. And over the course of a 3 to 4 month period, I can really help them see just what life is all about. And I can get them, I can help them to find their love of life again. And that to me is the reason why I do what I do every day, because I just get so much enjoyment from seeing those women go, oh my God, it doesn't have to be like this. I can live a fulfilling life without all these aches and pains and poor sleep and, you know, all those kind of things. It can be just, you know, life. I can find myself again. I can find the old me. I can be who I was before all these issues started to come along and I couldn't get rid of them. And now here I am again as this person that's got so much energy and so much focus on a day-to-day basis.
Brilliant. And so would you say that that's one of your favorite parts of your job, is kind of hearing, getting those eureka moments?
Yeah, absolutely. I love getting the text messages that tell me, you know, I've had so many women tell me that I've saved their life. You know, I haven't saved their life because they've done it. They've done the work. Yeah. All I've done is given the helping hand, give guidance to make those changes and provide the accountability. But, you know, it must be awful if you're in a place where you can't see a way out. Yeah. And this little, you know, this, you're given this chink of light and you go with it. And all of a sudden you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel and life changes beyond recognition kind of thing. That for me is just so powerful.
Absolutely. That must just be so rewarding for you. And one thing I'd like to know is, what advice have you got for any kind of budding entrepreneurs, any budding business owners who have a business idea, but they might not have the confidence, or they might be stuck in a rut, or they might be, you know, stuck in a position that they're not getting fulfilled in, but they just don't know how to start? Like, what advice would you give for those people?
Well, the first thing I would do is always say, find yourself a business mentor, find yourself someone that can keep you accountable, because it's exactly the same for my clients when they feel unfulfilled and feel desperate and they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same for an entrepreneur. So an accountability coach, a business mentor who can help you move in the right direction. For me, my business has grown massively when I've invested in business coaching and I've had someone to keep me moving and keep me accountable on a daily and weekly basis. So the first thing I would do is find that coach to support you and kind of point you in the right direction. The second thing I would do is identify your target market that is an inch wide and mine it a mile deep. Don't go for a mile wide target market that is only an inch deep. So for me, I know I'm working with women who are 40 plus, who are struggling with poor sleep, lack of energy, joint pain, and hormone imbalance. So I know exactly who I'm talking to, and all my messaging is going out that way. So when you really identify your target audience and you can communicate with them, you can mine that seam a mile deep, and you don't need, you know, your marketing becomes effortless. Effortless. Then I'll get my words out in a minute.
That's
find that business coach, identify your target market, and then just go for it. Absolutely.
That's really good advice, you know, even when it comes down to the marketing, like you say, because, you know, once you've started your business and once you're in that founding stage and you're in that startup phase, the habit is to go, well, let's go broad, when actually you need to think, well, actually, who are the people that are actually going to buy from me?
Yeah.
And then if we're really talking about marketing, pain points, think about their pain points and their pleasure points. And, you know, that's then how you go about marketing your business. You know, so yeah, that's really good advice. But
I was that person. I was that person who just took on anybody when I first started in business. And I was run ragged because I was trying to do too many things at once. And when I got really specific and really kind of identified exactly who it was I was talking to, I really found the flow in my business. I absolutely did.
I'm currently in that phase at the moment with purely personal marketing, you know, and we've been going for a few years now. And but I found that I've gotten into this rut where I have just worked with, you know, with any businesses. And you know, not to be funny or anything, I love the clients I work with and I'm very selective on who I work with. Now I learned that quite early on. So even though they might not be target industry, they're wonderful people and I love working with them. But now I'm kind of shifting with who, what industries I want to work with. So yeah, that's really good advice. What have been some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome in business? Because this is something that we just don't ever hear. We always hear about, you know, we're doing amazing, we're doing great, but you know, business is really hard. And, you know, over the last, you know, well, actually a few things, COVID. And then also as a business owner, if you're self-employed and it's just you, you're the accountant, you're the marketing person, you're the sales person, and you're the person doing the job. There's a lot involved in running a business. You know, what have been some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome and how have you overcome them?
So I'm a really lucky person because I thrive on stressful situations. I really do. I become really creative in a stressful situation. So about 5 years ago, I had an element of my business was just taken away from me literally overnight. And it was a real, my business kind of almost fell apart. And in that situation, I looked at my business. I went, right, how can I rebuild this? And it's that question, how can I is so crucial, because rather than saying, oh, I can't do this, this is too hard, how can I, meant that I got into this creative space and I was able to start identifying ways that I could begin to rebuild my income and you know, kind of really move the business forward again. So when the pandemic hit last year, what I'd learned in 2016, I really applied some of those lessons to this time last year, March last year, where it was really panicky. Everyone was in a place of fear and didn't know what to do. And I just went, right, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And I instantly turned the business to become more online. I started to create a network of people, of wellbeing professionals who could all support each other through that time, because the wellbeing industry has been really hit as a result. You know, just not being able to work face to face with clients and all that sort of thing. So I started to create some coaching programs and stuff for the wellbeing industry. So I just really went into my creative space and started to do new things, which have worked really, really well for me. So I'm really fortunate in that my business has grown massively since March 2020, because I learned from that experience in 2016 to those lessons I learned, I applied. And it was almost like everything I learned in 2016, I was learning that for a reason, and I was learning it so that I could apply it in March 2020. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what happened. So
synchronicity, you know, of things, isn't it? It's all absolutely. Life is just one big lesson, you know, and not to get too kind of, you know, deep, but it is just one big lesson. And, you know, actually in my very first podcast, the one that I introduced myself, I say, you know, I did this job and this job and that job and da, 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 and now I use all of those skills that I learned. And at the time, I remember going for interviews and people being like, oh, you've worked at a lot of places, you know, oh, you know, you must be unreliable. And I probably was, to be fair, I was a terrible employee, but I use all of those skills now in my job as a business owner. And it's that hustle and those skills and attributes that I learned during that phase of uncertainty that then when it came to founding my business and starting it up, it all kind of came into action. So you just got to trust the journey that you're on, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Trusting that journey is really important, and never seeing anything as a mistake, always just seeing everything as a lesson that you learned. And now I'll just take that lesson and I'll apply it in the future if I need to.
Love that. Yes. You know, we have that here in the office, you know, with the team and stuff, and they'll say, oh, sorry if this is a silly question. I'm like, there's no silly questions. There's just learning. So, you know, and it isn't just like you said, it's all about just trust the journey that you're on, trust the path. And if you aren't happy with this path, find a way, like you say, or if something doesn't feel right in your business, find a way to overcome it, to change it, talk to people, get guidance, build a community, just like you said you did with the wellness industry, build a community, be seen as the person who's kind of bringing that unity to your industry. In your community and in your area. And has there ever been a time that you wanted to throw the towel in and you went, I just can't do this anymore. It's too hard, or God, I'm done being a business owner.
Yeah. Actually, there was that moment in 2016, only 3 or 4 days before it, I said, oh God, I just don't know how long I can do this anymore. Yeah. And it is, be careful what you wish for, because literally 4 days later, the rug was pulled from underneath me. And I really had to change the way I was doing things. Yeah. And I look back on that now and I think at the time it was really hard, but actually I'm really grateful that that experience came along, because it made me redirect where I was going and the direction I was going in. Yeah. But yeah, we all have days where it's hard. We absolutely do. We all have days where it doesn't quite work the way you want it to be. And, you know, and you kind of end up the day thinking that wasn't as satisfying as it could have been today. But I always just draw a line under it and go, you know what? I'm grateful the day happened. It's the end of the day. Tomorrow is a new day and there'll be new exciting things happening tomorrow. And I never dwell on yesterday and I never anticipate tomorrow. I always just focus on today and what's happening today. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really good advice. And I think for anyone that's kind of starting up or anyone that's even in business, you know, and I guess, you know, now that our country, the UK, is opening up again, I guess a lot of business owners are thinking, anticipating what's going to happen. Mm. You know, my advice would be, much like you, just focus on the now. What can you control within today? Have your eye on, you know, reopening or whatever it might be, if your industry is reopening, but take tiny little steps towards that, but don't overwhelm yourself, because it's the time that we're living in is so crazy and so overwhelming that, you know, how much can you really take on? Take deep breaths. And like you say, Sue, just be in the moment. Think about today, take tiny little baby steps and don't put too much pressure on yourselves.
And learn from the experience as well. Learn from the experience of what we've gone through and make sure that you don't make the same mistakes next time. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a hairdresser the other day, and she was saying, you know, she's had 27 weeks where she hasn't been working, which is a shocking amount of time. Yeah. But in that time, she's gone, okay, so if this ever happens again, how am I going to create an income? So she's used the opportunity to start to look at other sources of income as well as the hairdressing. Right. So she's starting to not put all her eggs in one basket, which is a really useful, you know, it's a really logical thing to be doing at a time like this, because we have no guarantee that it won't happen again.
Yeah, quite right. I mean, I know anyone that's listening or listening in the future or in a different country, we're in the UK, the schools have we're in our third lockdown currently. The schools reopened yesterday and we're starting to come out of lockdown. We got the vaccines rolling out and whatnot. And like you say, Sue, we just don't know what might happen. We might go back in it. So, you know, if you can diversify at all, then it's always good to do that. What has been one of the highs in your business? One of the points that you've just gone, oh, I love that happened.
So I started my group coaching program in my first group coaching program. So my group coaching program is a 3-month program. And the first one I ran started in October of last year. And it was a very small group initially. I had 15 women going through this group coaching program together. And at the end of it, they all came out with exceptional results. They'd all lost weight. They were all sleeping properly. They were all just so much more energized on a day-to-day basis. And they've all carried on. I've kept in touch with all of them, and they've all carried on to implement all the lessons that they learned during that 90-day coaching program. And for me, that was just like, I am completely in my flow with this. I can educate women through my, you know, through the course that I'm running for them. I can support them. I can help them, and they can get the result they're looking for at the end of it. And for me, I really think my business is on an upward trajectory. I don't think I've got to the point where I've had the best day in business yet. I think that's still coming, but every day is a great day. Lots of things happen on a day-to-day basis. And I just love the fact that I've found my flow now. I really have.
Yeah. And with anyone that's listening to this and going, I'm interested in the industry as well, and I'd love to be a wellbeing coach, or, you know, I'd love to mentor women or men, you know, where is a good place for them to learn? How do they go about learning? How do they go about getting, I don't know if you need qualifications, or, you know, what advice would you have for someone who wanted to get into your industry?
Yeah, so there are lots of courses now that you can do that are well-being, a well-being coach, that kind of encompass everything, that encompass NLP, that encompass a little bit of nutrition, and you can call yourself a well-being and lifestyle coach at the end of it. For me, I took a more traditional route because I was a personal trainer first of all. Then I became a nutritional therapist and doing a proper nutritional qualification, and then moving into the kind of mindset side of things as well. I've done mine a bit more piecemeal, so I haven't got one certificate that says I'm a well-being coach, but all my experience allows me to and that's, you know, a well-being coach, a well-being mentor. It's not an official title as such. You know, it's not the same as calling yourself a physiotherapist, for example, because you've got to have done all that, those qualifications. A well-being coach can get to that point from a number of different trajectories. You could have been a yoga instructor and you did an NLP qualification or a hypnotherapy qualification or something, and now you're kind of helping women with their, or people with their well-being. So, you know, you can come at it from all angles. There's lots and lots of courses out there. I would say just Google it and have a look and see which one you feel floats your boat, you know, inspires you to say, actually, that's the one that I want to go down. That's the route I want to go down, because that's the one that's got the most interesting content in it that appeals to me.
Brilliant. And what I'd like to know is, what have you learned since you've been in business? So has business, running a business, starting a business, running a business, has it been everything and more that you thought it would be?
Honestly, no. It has been, there has been days where it's been difficult. There has been days where I just think, oh, I love it. You know, we all have ups and downs.
Yeah.
I'm not a numbers person. So once I recognized that I needed to outsource all my numbers, then that became a lot better.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting to that point now. I love marketing. I'm good at marketing, but there's other bits of it that I'm not interested in doing. And I'm just getting to that point now where I'm realizing that actually, if I outsource those, it gives me more time to do the things that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
The coaching and the support side of things. So it's been an undulating road to get to this point, but it's always been an undulating road that gradually works its way up. It's never been a downward slope. It's always been an upward slope. So even if it has been a bit rocky sometimes.
Brilliant. So what are your goals for your business? As we're at the kind of at the start of 2021, you know, this time next year, what position are you hoping to be in?
So I want to have an evergreen course, an evergreen coaching program that women can just buy into, and I've recorded it all and it's available to them 24/7 if they at any stage they want to follow my coaching program. But equally as much, I still want to be doing the face-to-face group coaching. So I want to grow the group coaching. My ultimate goal in the next 10 years is to work with 10,000 women to help them get to better health. That's before I retire. And I set that goal earlier on this year, so you know I've got 10 years to do that. And I absolutely believe I can. Mm. And I want to be that well-being coach that is all online, all group coaching, and women are coming out the other side of it saying, that was fantastic, and recommending it to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of their friends to go and do the same thing. So they realize that they don't need to go down the medication route. They don't need to go down the slimming club route. They can actually apply simple techniques on a day-to-day basis that will help them improve their long-term quality of life.
Excellent. And do you have kind of three tips? So what I'd like to know is, because there are lots of entrepreneurs listening, wannabe entrepreneurs and people working in business. And, you know, if you're a budding entrepreneur and you want to be in business, you will find this, what I'm about to say, eventually. And if you are already in business, you might also find this now. And that is just, you always put yourself on the back bench. There is always an email to respond to. There is always, you know, a client that needs something. There is always a customer that needs something. There is always something. Oh, I'll just quickly do that. I'll quickly get that done. And we don't prioritize our nutrition. We don't prioritize our health, our well-being, our mental health, our emotional health, even just walking, you know, have you got any kind of tips that entrepreneurs, business owners can start to implement pretty easy and quickly?
Yeah. So the first thing is to have some protein for breakfast. or the first thing you eat, it doesn't always have to be breakfast, but the first thing you should eat should be protein. Because first thing in the morning, your stomach is full of hydrochloric acid. And if you eat carbohydrates, so cereal or toast, your blood sugars will skyrocket. And when your blood sugars skyrocket, you then are hungry by 2 hours later. And so you end up on a roller coaster of blood sugars all day. And when you crash, when your blood sugars crash, that's when you get brain fog, you're super unproductive, you feel really tired, and you can't make good decisions. So if you eat protein first thing for breakfast, your blood sugars will stay really balanced through the course of the day, and you will make better choices with your food, which means you won't have those blood sugar crashes. You'll stay far more productive, far more focused, and far more energized through the course of the day. So that's my first tip.
Can I just ask, what would you regard as protein? Because I'm thinking like salmon and eggs, but that might be a bit full on.
Yeah, two scrambled eggs, two boiled eggs, some boiled eggs and avocado. You could have yogurt with seeds and nuts and fruit on it. You know, full fat yogurt with seeds and nuts and fruits on anything basically that doesn't involve toast or cereal.
That's where I'm going wrong, guys. You know, like actually, I have started because, you know, I am victim of this. I'm terrible, especially if work is busy and I kind of go, God, I haven't eaten today. So I've bought myself a smoothie machine. I've started having smoothies for breakfast, and I put a handful of oats in and some banana strawberries or whatever, and then some almond milk. Like, is that okay? Or should I be?
Yeah. That's really good. But what I would add is some seeds, just like some sunflower seeds or some pumpkin seeds that can whiz up with the smoothie to add a bit more protein in there, or use a pea protein powder to add a little bit of extra protein in there.
Great.
The protein is the crucial thing, first thing in the morning. And that will just keep you super productive all day. Never underestimate how important it is to fuel the brain. The brain needs glucose for its function. And if your blood sugars drop, then you won't be making the right decisions. It will take longer to make decisions. You'll be functioning in a place of brain fog, and you won't actually be that productive on a day-to-day basis.
That's so really true, because I do find that then when I get brain fog, I'm like, just grab a bar of chocolate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is making perfect sense. So,
And then your blood sugars crash again, and you're all over the place and still can't make any decisions.
Thank you.
You could do 5 hours of super productive work compared to 8 hours of what you're probably doing at the minute, because your blood sugars are not balanced.
Yeah. Basically. Thank you. Right. Tip number two.
Tip number two is to drink 2 liters of water. Nobody drinks enough water.
No,
and
I don't.
Hydration is so important to your mental clarity. It's super, super important to your mental clarity. It's also super important to your intestinal function. And if your intestines are not functioning, your intestine will have a knock-on effect to your brain. You've got a direct link between your intestine and your brain. If your intestine is slow and sluggish, that's how you will be in business on a day-to-day basis. You will be slow and sluggish. So
I didn't know that. I mean, I don't know if any of our listeners know that, but I did not know that. And I'm currently holding up a bottle of water, and I don't know how much water is actually in this, but this is my second one. So if I was to aim for a minimum of 2 of these a day?
You probably want to be aiming for 3. That looks to me like it's a 750ml bottle.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's that big, does it? Right. For our listeners who can't see what on earth I'm doing, I'm holding up a drink bottle. So aim for 3 of these. Morning, afternoon, just before I go home to work.
Yeah. So what I do is I say, break
go
it
home,
down.
Not home.
Let's say it was let's say it was a 500ml bottle, for example. I say, break it down. Have one bottle before 10 o'clock. Make sure you've drunk a bottle before 2 o'clock. Have the third bottle between 2 and 4 or 2 and 5. And then have your last bottle from 5 through into the course of the evening. And that's your 2 liters. And you haven't even noticed that you've been doing it.
That's really good. Excellent. Right. Tip number three.
So tip number three, so we've got have protein for breakfast. We've got drink lots and lots of water.
Yes.
And tip number three has to be put a time in your diary every single day to go out for a 10, 15 minute walk. Because again, when your cardiovascular system is working properly, it gets more blood to the brain and you will function better on a daily basis. So and I do this with all of my clients that are self-employed or in business, and they don't prioritize themselves. I say, make an appointment in your diary. Do not let that appointment slip. Put it in there somewhere where you know it can stay in there. For me, it's always, I aim to get outside at about 4:30, whether that's taking the dog for a walk, whether it's going for a walk with my daughter, just to get some fresh air. and get out and away from the computer, because it resets what's going on in your brain and you can come back to it with fresh eyes and be more productive than you would be if you sat there trying to do something that actually isn't flowing. So yeah, always have that appointment in your diary with yourself to get out and move.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really three really easy tips that, you know, anyone could do, really. And I'm kind of sat here going, duh, like, do you know what I mean? It's so simple. And of course, and why aren't we doing those things? Thank you so much for those tips, Sue. We are now going to roll on into Grill the Guest, which is just a bit of fun, lightheartedness, a bit of silliness. And so I'm just going to pick some random questions from my list, and you have to answer with the very first thing that comes into your head. Okay. So share with me, what is your book of the moment? Are you reading at the moment? And if so, what is your favorite book?
Yes, Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield Thomas.
Oh, I've not heard of that. Is it good? I guess so.
Yes, it is. All about money mindset. All money mindset. So I read her first book, Get Rich Lucky, and I won't say the word of the, but it rhymes with rich, and it begins with B.
And it's fine. Get Rich Lucky Bitch.
Yeah, and I read that last year twice, absolutely loved it. I signed up to do her money mindset boot camp, and I'm now reading her Chillpreneur book, which is all about just understanding how you can make your business work for you rather than your business making you work.
Brilliant. What is your favorite thing to eat?
Peanut butter and banana.
Oh my God, yes, I'm with you. Peanut butter and banana on toast for me.
No, on corn cakes.
Corn cakes.
Yeah, I don't go down the bread route. Doesn't fit very well with me, but the corn cakes, you can get that crunchiness that you've got from toast. Bit of peanut butter. I've got my favourite peanut butter brand, which doesn't have any nasties added into it. It's just peanuts and sea salt and a little bit of banana on top. Keeps me going all morning, that does.
That is true, that is good. Who do you look up to in business?
Who do I look up to in business? Well, I think there's a number of people that a minute that are really featuring for me. So Denise Duffield Thomas is one of them, but just because I'm doing her Money Bootcamp course. I really like the way Lisa Johnson approaches things. I've started to emulate some of the stuff she does from a group coaching perspective. So there's some really key people out there that minute that I'm sort of following and
inspired
watching.
Inspired by.
Christina Carlson and her dream life. You know, all of those people I'm looking at and going, you inspire me and I want to follow what it is you're doing.
Where's your favourite place to visit?
Hope Cove on the South Devon coast.
Devon's so beautiful. Okay, I'm going to ask you this and you've got to answer on, you know, which you prefer, Dairy Milk or Galaxy chocolate?
All Galaxy, every day.
Okay, good. And what do you regard as success?
This is a really interesting question because I regard success as being what I take a client to a point where they've got their life back. That for me is success.
Yeah.
That's in my business life. But in my personal life, success for me will be my three children growing up, well-adjusted adults, and going out and doing good in the world as well.
Brilliant. Lovely. Thank you so much for coming on the Small Business Stories, Sue. It has been an absolute delight to have you on and learning more about what you do and how you help women. And one more time, if anyone wants to go and follow you, what's your website and where do they find you on social media?
So my website is suethomaswellbeing.co.uk. On social media, LinkedIn, Instagram and Facebook, I am Sue Thomas Wellbeing. But my Facebook group is Keeping It Real with Sue Thomas Wellbeing. And that's where I share most of the kind of value and content with all my, you know, clients and stuff.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Sue. You've been an absolute terrific guest. It's been lovely having you on. And thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode with our lovely guest. Go and follow Sue. Inquire with her if it's something that you feel you would really benefit from. And, you know, you've heard how lovely and approachable she is. So definitely go and have a little chat with Sue. And thanks for tuning in. All right. That is all. Thank you so much, guys. Oh, that was the lovely Sue Thomas, well-being coach. Thank you for coming on, Sue. And thank you guys for tuning in and listening again to the Small Business Stories. I hope you found Sue's story inspiring and insightful. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to head on over to Apple and give us a 5-star review rating. It means the world. Thank you so much, guys. Take care of yourselves. Goodbye.